This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 28. We're living the American dream. What's up, everybody? I got Adam Craig back in the studio again. He hung out with us on episode 6. We talked about real estate, doing $1.5 million on Amazon, and building an affiliate marketing business. I recently caught up with Adam, and he is just blowing up again. So let's get right into this. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks again for having me, Mike.
Thanks for coming back. This is huge. I mean, it's been about 6 months since we hung out, and last time you were here, we were covering goals you had set in your Amazon business. I believe you owned about 6 or 7 investment properties at the time, and 6 months later, I mean, you continue to explode and keep growing. So you got some big things coming up. Let's go ahead and cover the biggest right now. What do you got coming up this summer?
Really, number one on my plate is June wedding, which is only about 3 weeks away.
That's awesome. What's the story with it? Are we going out of town? Are we staying low key?
No, it's a local wedding, 120 person, so nothing too crazy. But yeah, it's been taking up a lot of my time, which is a good thing. It's nice to take a break from work every once in a while. But yeah, we're still going pretty full blow with everything. But we're about to pump the brakes here in a couple weeks. Got to enjoy the honeymoon.
Nice, nice. Now, you and your wife, you guys keeping your cool right now? Or is it getting chaos mentally for you two?
No. Both of us are pretty chill, pretty level-headed. So we're not one of those people to freak out on unnecessary things. But it's an outdoor wedding, so the only thing that might freak us out is rain. But we're gonna cross our fingers.
Man, it's so cool. Congratulations on that.
Thanks. I appreciate that, Mike.
Now, let's get right into business here. Now, we were just talking about you're rehabbing 3 houses right now. Please tell me why you jumped into 3 houses at once.
Yeah, you know, I normally don't like doing more than one, to be honest with you. It was kind of a situation where I made an offer on a short sale about 6 months ago. That came up. And then another house that I was positive on buying was happening. And then a third house, I lowballed an offer, not expecting it to get taken, but the house was a receivership, so the people that owned it didn't care what they got for it, and they accepted. So it was pretty much a case where all 3 deals were too good for me to pass on. I can financially swing it, though just barely, so we closed on all 3 within about a 30-day period.
Man, very exciting. When did all this come together here? Was this last month then, or have you been on this for a while?
Yeah, we've been on this for a while. It was about February into March, and the rehabs are taking a little longer, mostly because of my resources. I actually had to go out and find some additional help because my normal guys can only work on so many projects at once. So I have some new guys on some of these projects, and they're taking a little longer than I'd like.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, though. Where did you find these new guys at?
Anywhere from, I like to look on the Better Business Bureau website, but I don't necessarily have to go off that. The reason I like the Better Business Bureau is because if there's been any issues with the contractor, there's going to be a complaint on there. So if I see they've been in business for a number of years and there's no complaints, I can usually assume that I'm not going to at least get ripped off. Maybe they won't do the best of work, or maybe they're going to take a while, but I don't think I'm going to get ripped off. And, you know, if you go on Craigslist, it's pretty highly likely that you can get ripped off. There's a lot of great contractors on Craigslist, but it definitely increases chances of getting taken to the cleaners.
Yeah, we could do shows on shows on shows about getting robbed on Craigslist. We've all been there.
Sure, it's a great tool, but you got to use it with caution.
Absolutely. If you don't mind, can you share a couple of the ups and downs you're having with your contractors right now?
Sure. The biggest one, and I've experienced it on almost every single one, is 2-week projects takes 4 or 5, and they're just always misjudging the time, which isn't a big deal in the big picture of things, but I like to obviously get these things rented. I'm paying utility bills. I mean, some of the holding costs in winter, you know, you think about the mortgage, but the gas bill on some of these, you're paying $150, $200 a month. So every month that property sits, it's a lot of money out of pocket, not to mention the lost revenue you're not getting in rent. So I like these guys to work quickly, but unfortunately, the guys with the big teams who can really get it done in a fast amount of time are the expensive guys, and I'd prefer to wait and get it done at a budget.
Yeah, I agree. Now, with you were talking about holding costs there. Are you using traditional financing for these, hard money, or just your own personal funds?
Yeah, so no holding costs in terms of financing, but holding costs in terms of having to pay the mortgage, having to pay the utility bills, and not having rent income coming in.
All right. Now, with your contractors here, this is something I always like to find out from investors and rehabbers. Do you have them submit a bid to do the whole job up front, and then do they hit you with overages, or if they give you one quote, is that it and that's what they get?
Yeah, no, I'm doing bids up front now. When I first started, I really thought the way to go was going to be hourly, but I had a Craigslist guy who worked hourly, and he worked slow. I knew after that job was done, after I had some other guys in there, that he milked the hell out of it. But what are you going to do? You live and you learn. So right now, no, we do bids on the entire job. And a couple of the guys I've been with now, I've been with for a number of houses, and we got a good understanding. Overages are all documented. They happen on every job, but I haven't had any instances where I get a higher number than I'm anticipating.
No, that's good to hear. And then how are you paying these guys? Like, if they say Adams is going to cost you $20,000, are you giving them a draw up front, or is it half and half? How do we do this?
Yeah, most of my jobs aren't anywhere in that ballpark. I do minor rehab, so anywhere from like $4,000 to $10,000 per job. And yeah, they usually take draws. One of the new guys I'm working with, who is utterly slow, would be aggravating me a little more, except for the fact that he didn't take a draw. I haven't paid him a dime. He's been on the project for about 4 weeks. He said it was going to be two. But he hasn't asked me for a penny, so it's making
that's rare,
unheard of. I know. I don't know how he's eating, but I'm not gonna press the issue if he's not asking for it.
Very cool. Yeah, I might even have to get his name when you're done with him there. That's a
for sure. Yeah.
They usually come out with their hands out first, and then you got to get them to show up after that.
Exactly. but yeah, my other guy, who is my main guy, yeah, we do about three or four draws per job.
Okay. Cool. Cool. Good to know. Now, with these three houses you have right now, give me a little details on them. Are they single families, multis?
Yeah, they are all single-family homes, and they're all at least three bedrooms. What I've come to find out in this real estate game is I was concentrating a little too much on the location of the properties and not enough on the actual house itself. So after doing a number of these, I found square footage is huge in terms of what you're getting for rent. You don't want to buy a house in the ghetto and all that, but you definitely want to concentrate on some decent neighborhoods, and the four- or five-bedroom houses get so much more than the 1,200 square foot three bedroom houses. That's the way I'm going now. So one of them is a three bedroom, two of them are four bedrooms.
All right. And then what cities did you, are these all in the same city or just surrounding burbs?
Actually, I got my first one in Willoughby. Most of my, all of my properties are in the Heights areas and in inner city, the Cleveland suburbs right around the city. But one popped up in my price range right over in Willoughby on 3rd Street, downtown Willoughby. And I went to go look at it, and I saw two realtors and sets of people going into the house. I didn't even go inside. I called my realtor, and I made an offer, full asking price, and it got accepted.
Wow. Congrats.
Yep.
Yeah, Willoughby, that's you're definitely moving up in the markets there.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you found a deal in Willoughby, too.
Well, I was, too. I mean, I have it set on my radar. You know, I look for houses between about $45,000 and $65,000, and Willoughby never pops up, but one came up quick, and I snagged it. It appraised at $85,000. I got it for $59,900.
Beautiful. So you already got the equity in it, and, you know, the cash flow will be there as well.
Yep. Yeah.
Very cool. Now, how's your portfolio going to look after this, adding these three new properties?
So I'll be at a total of 11 properties, and I'm taking a break for a little while. I'll probably resume in about 3 months after the wedding and the honeymoon and all that. But, you know, I had tax season, I had three houses, and then I had the wedding. So financially, you know, things were a little stressed. So I'm going to rebuild and get in a comfortable position and then do another offer.
Oh, I'm glad you share that. It's an expensive first half for sure.
Yeah.
What kind of cash flow are these 11 properties going to throw off for you, roughly?
If you're looking at, depends on what kind of figures you're looking at. If you're talking cap rates, right around 12%. But if you want to just go simple, my mortgage is between $500 and $600, and I'm getting anywhere between $1,100 and $1,250 in rent. So I mean, that cash flow works all day. You can't do that in a lot of markets, but it's good to be in Cleveland because the numbers work really well.
Yeah, so you're going to get about roughly $6,000 in positive cash flow.
Yeah, roughly $6,000. I mean, you know, you have a lot of things that come up that don't necessarily factor into the $6,000. Probably be a little less. But yeah,
right.
I would say $5,000 to be conservative.
Nice. I mean, that's freedom right there. You're done technically, you know, if you wanted to be.
If I wanted to be done and live frugally, I would be very comfortable right now. Definitely.
So cool. Glad to hear that. Man, moving on, because you're just a nonstop businessman here. I want to talk about your Amazon physical products business. And what's hilarious to me, when we're talking, you said, you know, I'm having a slow month. We're doing about $100,000 in revenue this month. I was like, what? So, yeah, you got to dive into this. Tell me what you got going on here.
Yeah, well, I know it sounds like a lot, but I do sell a lot of expensive merchandise. You know, I have $1,500, $2,000 lenses, so it could bring that number up in a hurry. But, yeah, I'm still doing about 250 to 300 sales a month. In comparison to my November and December busy months, we do about 500 to 550 and somewhere between 150 and 180,000 in revenue. But yeah, it's still keeping me plenty busy, but it's given me a little bit of time to do some other things too, like work on my website and things like that. But it's definitely not slow by any means, but it's slower.
Okay. Now, I got to ask you this, because I'm selling on Amazon now, and I've, you know, I've caught this bug where I got to hit the Seller Central app on my phone every hour and seeing how much money I'm making. Do you have this problem, or are you beyond that?
Well, I did the same thing when I first started, but now, you know, as sad as it to say is, I probably take it for granted a little bit. I see a sale, and you know, I appreciate making money, but I'm working a lot these days, and it's just more work, I know. But no, I try to keep my Seller app uninstalled, to be honest. I'm on my computer all day long. The last thing I need from my fiance is us watching our show with my Seller Central app.
That's a lot of discipline there. I respect that.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't mind, you don't have to give us all your secret sauce on it. I mean, you've been super successful, but can you kind of walk us through some of your strategies? I know you do a crossover, you know, finding products on eBay and, you know, having them refurbished and selling on Amazon, because you share with the listeners some strategies on how they could get started doing this.
Sure. A lot, like I said on the previous episode, a lot of my inventory now is coming from current customers, which I know not everyone has the luxury to have, but a lot of my customers, just through advertisements, little cards that I put in packages and little emails that I send out, they'll call me up and they'll say, I have this, how much will you give me? And it's just surprising at some of the prices they're willing to take. But just like a pawn shop, you know, takes merchandise in for pennies on the dollar, there's people all over that are willing to do that, and they'll ship it to you. So it makes it really easy in that aspect.
So with your existing customers, they'll buy, let's say they buy a lens off you, and you slide a card in there, say, hey, I'm buying this these electronics. They reach out to you at a point and say, Adam, I got a GoPro, and then you just go ahead and make the offers from there, and they actually ship them to you?
Yep, that's right. I'll just make them the offer. I'll give them the shipping address, and then as soon as the item arrives, I'll inspect it. And if everything checks out, we get a check out to them within 24 hours. And more times than not, we reimburse their shipping. If they're selling something to us that's extremely heavy or going to be really costly to ship, we'll let them know up front that we won't reimburse their full shipping cost. But a lot of the smaller items, we always do because it's under $10.
Nice. And then you're actually sending them a physical check for this.
Yeah, I give them the option to take PayPal. They can do cashier's check or a money order.
Nice. You got the paper trail on it, so it's on the up and up.
Right. Yeah, everything's there's record of everything. And we give a 90-day warranty on everything if we're selling merchandise to them, that is.
That's awesome. Now, last time you were in the studio, I believe you were telling us you were on track to do, I think it was 1.5 million by the end of the year. Did we hit that goal?
Yeah, we hit it by about 200,000, exceeded it by about 200,000. I'm sorry to say, I really hope I'm wrong, but this might be the first year that the numbers stop going up. Right now, I'm ahead of last year, but with the next couple of months coming up and the time I'm going to be away, it's going to be hard to make up that time. But you never know what's going to happen. When the wedding's over and the honeymoon's over, I'm going to, you know, go back on the grind and try to expand.
That's awesome. And congrats on blowing that number out of the water there. You know, you exceeded what you were after. And I've heard fourth quarter, there's countless success stories out of that. So who knows, you know?
Yeah. Fourth quarter can make or break your season. That's for sure.
Nice. So you got Upbeat Electronics. You were talking about you're adding the blog to it. You're adding more product reviews. Can you share with us some of the reasoning in doing this?
Yeah, sure. I took a long break on a lot of the website stuff, but as I got back into it, I started researching a lot of the search engine SEO strategies and how to get viewers to your website. And those change from year to year. So what you read in 2012 or 2013, Google might be using different analytics and different algorithms to place your site in the ranking. So you do have to stay up on that. So after doing a lot of research, I still found content is definitely king. So you want to have relevant, good content on your website, whether it be blogs, whether it be videos, whether it be articles. And the copy and paste stuff isn't working. If you try to do that, Google will catch that and they'll actually de-rank you. So you need to have original content and you have to have it be interesting and not just filler, you know. They'll catch on to that, and that's pretty much what I've been doing. Real blog articles, real good YouTube videos, and real good product reviews.
Well, all right, I got a two-part question for you then. As far as blogging, we all know it takes a lot of time to do this. A, do you like writing? And B, are you hiring somebody to do your writing?
That's funny you'd ask. Had you asked me last time, I would have told you I was actually writing the articles. But yeah, I found some blog writers. I wish I had sourced them earlier. Just like contractors, you can find really, really expensive ones and you can find some really, really cheap ones, and you got to do your homework onto whether the cheap ones are any good or not. But I found one who is extremely competitive in pricing. I have no secret in giving it away. She charges 3 cents per word, which comes out to about $9 to $12 for a one-page, 500-plus word, 500 to 600-word article. So it's something that would take me, you know, an hour and a half to do. Costs about 10 bucks.
Yeah, I'm glad you were honest about that, because when I went into the blogging world, I started doing all the writing myself. And I was just, you know, I came to the point, I'm like, this sucks. This takes up so much time. So on my personal site, I still do all the writing. But on my niche sites, like you just said, I just went out and found other people to do the writing for me, tested out a few. And I'm paying about 10 bucks for 500 words as well.
Yeah.
Where did you find your writer at?
I actually ended up settling on this one on Craigslist. She is out of the Pittsburgh area. And I looked all over. I looked at a lot of the major websites online. You know, there were some people who wanted up to like 25 cents a word. And for what I need, a lot of those people did offer more. They would write the article and then they would give you, you know, keywords, and they would help you with the search engine optimization portion of it. But I didn't need all that. I just needed a short little 500 word write up. And she's great for that.
Perfect. Good content to add to the site. And it hits the budget.
That's right. And yeah, it saves me, you know, a ton of time. And no, I don't like writing.
Good to hear. So, with bringing more traffic to the site here, last time we were in, we were both talking about affiliate marketing, and primarily through Amazon, I believe. Let's go into this and tell me what you have going on with affiliate marketing now and some of your strategies.
Sure. Yeah. I've been writing. The blog is actually going into the affiliate marketing because it's beefing up my website. It's getting visitors there and through my website. On my website, if you check up upbeatelectronics.com, you'll see I'm not actually selling any of my inventory on there. It's all information now. I've converted it all to an information site. So that website is strictly made for the affiliate portion of my business. Not to say that, you know, if I have a video review on a lens that I'm selling, a lot of times we'll have that in stock. So it's going to help me twofold. If someone's interested, they watch the video, they can go buy the lens. If they watch the video and I don't have it in stock, I can still get the affiliate commission. But the website's primarily for the affiliate, but I do get a little personal Upbeat Electronics business out of it too.
All right, now this is something that was new to me right there. So you're not selling any of your products on Upbeat Electronics. Where are you selling them at?
Everything's 100% on Amazon now. We converted over because I didn't want people on my website to feel like I was trying to sell them something. I really wanted it to be full of content and full of useful information that they could just use. So I got rid of... If someone looks at a website with a bunch of information or reviews, they might think it's going to be biased because they're trying to sell you something. So now that I don't have anything for sale, people are going to take the information and not feel it's going to be biased towards a certain product.
So you sell strictly on Amazon's platform, but you're not using FBA, right?
No, I don't use FBA. I handle everything myself, and I pay a lot of fees to Amazon, but I can never get that kind of traffic to my site, so I'm okay to pay them.
No, I agree. And then... So if they go to Upbeat Electronics, they watch your video, they see this killer lens, you have the link in there. The link goes to your page on Amazon then. Is that how this works?
Yes. The link will go to my page on Amazon, and if we have the product for sale, which out of all the inventory I have currently on my website, I probably only have about 40% of it actually in stock. So yeah, they go over to Amazon. If they have it for sale, they purchase from me. If not, they can go ahead and buy it from another vendor and you get the affiliate commission on it. And for a lens, as I said last time, on a $1,500 lens, you can get a pretty tidy commission on that.
Yeah, I'm glad you covered that right there, because I didn't even realize you could embed your affiliate link on your own product there. And if your own product's not there, you still get the credit for it.
Yeah, you definitely can. You can go pretty much to any Amazon page, and in the upper left-hand corner, this is for affiliate participants, but there's a link tab, and you can grab the link from any page.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Good to know. Now, let's talk about YouTube, because I had a strategy in mind. I was about to start, and then when I was talking to you, you're already shooting videos. What's your strategy with using YouTube videos?
Yeah, so I knew for the longest time I had to get on YouTube. I watch a lot of these product reviews of things that I sell, and they have 100,000-plus views. And my blog articles can never get that kind of traffic. So I knew I had to get on YouTube. My fuss was I didn't want to be in front of the camera. I didn't want to be talking. And I finally got over that. I watched a lot of YouTube videos on how to create good content and how to be comfortable in front of a camera. And I'm not anywhere at a pro yet, but just like anything, you get better with it. A lot of the YouTube kings out there started off with real crappy videos and they improved them over time. And that's what I'm hoping to do. So... most of my videos are product reviews, anywhere from a minute to 3 minutes long. I'm a firm believer in short videos. I'm not sure about you, but I really don't pay any attention to 10, 12, 15-minute videos. My attention span's not there. So I like a real quick quick summary, which makes it easier on my end because I don't have to make really long videos.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that there, because I am the same way. And I have people, they share, you know, great content with me all the time. They'll send me videos and audios, and I'll like open them up and it'll be like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. I'm like, dude, there's no way I'm going to have time to sit down and watch or listen
time,
to this, you
right.
know? So and I appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, you hit it right there. 1 to 3 minutes, killer content. Get right to the point. Let's do it, you know?
Yep. And I haven't actually published any on YouTube yet. I just wanted to have about 10 to 15 to go with. And as soon as I have that amount, I'm going to get them published. And I don't expect a huge following on these first initial videos, just like anything. I want to build it over time because the videos are so-so right now. But I actually set up a little mini studio. I bought a couple of lights and I got a tripod now, and I'm getting a little more professional with it. So I think as I do that, the videos will seem more professional and they'll get more followers.
Oh, that's awesome. And then do you have this set up on an Upbeat Electronics channel, or is this under your name?
Yeah, Upbeat Electronics has its own YouTube channel now, so they'll all be on there. So
Very cool.
You can embed the link for what I'm doing instead of linking straight to the affiliate for the YouTube videos is linking them over to my website for two parts. One, once they get over to my website, they can browse around there at different products and they can click on them and I can still get the commission. But also, YouTube doesn't necessarily like straight links to affiliates. You could possibly get banned. You have to play by their rules, and their rules are a little bit touchy. So you have a better success of not getting banned or your video kicked off of YouTube if you don't embed a straight affiliate link in there.
Oh, good to know. And then are you doing clickable buttons on the video, or are you just embedding it in the text in the bottom?
I am doing clickable on the video too. Right now, I don't have a lot in the videos that are clickable, but as I keep producing these videos, I'm going to be able to say, by the way, check out my review on the 24-70 lens as they're watching a review on another one. But right now, I don't have a lot of videos that relate to each other. But as that grows, I'll have a lot more link clicks in the video.
Man, we're going to have to check back with you to check out your success and the money you've made with these videos now.
Yeah, I got my fingers crossed.
Very cool. Now, you got, after the wedding, everything settles, you got some bigger plans here. We're going after bigger real estate investments.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it'll be this year or not, and it'll probably end up being next year at the earliest, but I've been researching a lot on commercial real estate, and apartment buildings in particular. I always figured, you know, it's really nice if you want to own 50 or 100 single-family homes. There's a lot of advantages to it, but if you do a little research, there's arguably more advantage to owning apartment buildings, mostly because of economies of scale, but there's a lot of reasons why it might be a little better.
Now, I know you're talking about, you know, possibly the end of this year, maybe even next year getting into this, but I know you got your sights set on something. What's your ideal property in the back of your head that you want to go after for round one?
Well, round one, I want to start small, maybe something around like a 20-unit building, 25-unit building. I just wouldn't have the courage to jump into a 100, 150-unit building, nor would I have the funds to do it right at the moment. So I'm going to start small, just like everything, get my feet wet, and as I grow some confidence, I'll hopefully swing big for the fences on the next one.
See, I hope everybody heard that there, because you're like, I'm going to start small, and in my head, I'm like, 4-plex, 5-plex. You're like, 20, 25 units, no big deal.
Yeah, no, the 4-plexes and 5-plexes are definitely on my radar, too. I'm not going to rule them out, but I would love to get something that's you know, an apartment building as opposed to like a 5-plex house or, you know, just a small standing structure.
Man, so cool. You're a huge inspiration. You know, you just keep going out there and crushing it. You're not backing down. Please tell us, you know, for the listeners out there that are ready to take action and accomplish what you've accomplished in life, give us some action steps so we can get started immediately.
Action is the key word there. You have to take it. I was not a, you know, I went to a state school. I did really crappy in high school. I got through college. You know, books can only do so much. You don't have to be all that educated to really be successful in this life. You just have to have some drive. And by that, I mean, listen to podcasts, go on YouTube, watch videos, learn. And when I mean learn, don't just read school books. Read what you're interested in. If you're interested in getting into real estate, gobble up every real estate book, listen to these types of podcasts, and take action. I did a lot of groundwork and a lot of research before I actually did anything, but you eventually have to do something. You can't just keep listening and reading.
Man, it's killer advice, and that, you're so right. You know, everybody, if you do apply the action steps, then absolutely you could become a success, especially in the United States. I mean, I'm a high school dropout. I've accomplished way more than I ever thought I could, and it's all about just going out and doing it and getting dirty.
Yeah, I saw a skit on the news. George Bush did a speech somewhere, a commencement speech, and he ended it with, You can be a C student and still be president of the United States, because that's when he was.
There it is. Yep, so yep, true. Yep. Man, Adam, once again, I appreciate you coming in. This was great. Where can we connect with you at?
You can reach me on my website, upbeatelectronics.com, or you can send an email to adam@upbeatelectronics.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody. Thanks, and let's take action today.